Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your words. Thank you that in it we see revealed the birth of your Son. We see Jesus. Thank you for this passage that we've read. And we pray now that by your Spirit you would open up our eyes, help us to see more of the truths. Would you help us to respond with joy? Help us to respond with praise. Lord, help us to have the right response to Jesus this morning. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. What's your favorite Christmas movie? What is your, that's something you could talk about at the Christmas dinner today, couldn't you? Over a meal. What's your favorite Christmas movie? It could be a bit of a debate. The Guardian did a list this year, actually, of the top 25. Some odd thing, odd movies in that list of top 25. The top one was, I think, right, the Muppets Christmas Carol. I don't think you can beat that. But what wasn't on the list, which I think probably could have been on the list, and probably is some people's favorite, is The Grinch. There's two versions of The Grinch, isn't there? Obviously, the adaptation of Dr. Seuss's famous Christmas story. He's not a big fan of Christmas, is he, The Grinch? Likes to live upon his mountain all alone and ruin other people's Christmases. He likes to do all he can to make Christmas miserable and ruin Christmas. He hates Christmas, doesn't he, The Grinch? Now, I don't know what you think about Christmas here this morning. You might be a Grinch. I've known quite a few Grinches when it comes to Christmas. But you might not like Christmas for very good reasons as well. And that is fine. But whatever our responses to Christmas are, can I tell you today on Christmas Day, don't be a Grinch when it comes to Christ. You can think and believe what you want about Christmas. That is fine. But don't be a Grinch when it comes to Christ. What I mean is, don't isolate yourself from Christ. Don't hate Christ. Don't tell others they are wrong and make fun. Now, I'm guessing most of you here, since you are here, you're probably not that much of a Grinch when it comes to Christ. But just in case, let's look at two good responses to Christ this morning that help us respond correctly to Jesus this Christmas. And they are, of course, Simeon and Anna in the passage that we read. And their response to the child is the response I want us to have today. So let's look at them. Let's start with Simeon's response. We've had to wait a whole year for Christmas. The wait is over now, isn't it? Maybe some of you are still waiting for that present that you really wanted. You wanted last Christmas. You still haven't got it. You're still waiting. You're still waiting. Well, Simeon was a man waiting. We're told in verse 25 that he was a righteous and devout man, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for the rescue and the comfort of Israel to come, for the hope of rescue and comfort. He was a man waiting. We're also told in verse 26 that he would not die until he'd seen the Messiah with his own eyes. So he was waiting to see the Messiah, until he's seen the chosen and promised king of Israel, until he's seen God's king. And so he was waiting. And that must have been difficult at times, waiting. I mean, we're not very good at waiting, are we? Let's be fair. We like everything instantly. These days, we don't like to wait. We want to get things as soon as we can. But imagine Simeon's wait. Or imagine the day when his wait was over, when he saw the child's. And verse 28, took him in his arms. And what was his response as the wait was over? Well, we like to say lots of new things to newborn babies, don't we? I think Cooey is probably a favorite. He's got his mother's eyes. He's got his grandparents' ears. I don't know. We like to make funny faces over them. But Simeon doesn't do any of that when he looks at the baby Jesus. He takes the baby Jesus in his hands, and we learn verse 28, he praised God. His response to the Messiah, to the King that was born, to the Christ of Christmas was praise. He even says, doesn't he, in verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. The wait is over." He is happy to die knowing he's seen his Messiah. It was worth the wait. And so he praises God. In fact, in verses 30 to 32, there's three words I want to bring out that help give content to his praise. The why he was praising God. Three words I want us to almost get into our hearts so that we praise God like Simeon. And the first is this. The first word is salvation. Because he says, doesn't he, in verse 30, "My eyes have seen your salvation." We see a lot of things at Christmas, don't we? The favorite thing I like to see is we've got a tree, a proper tree, not a fake one, with lights and pine cones and dried oranges on. We liked it to be El Natural. And I love staring at the lights. I love watching and seeing the Christmas tree. You can then go outside and you can see some garishly decorated houses flashing at you, can't you? We see lots of things at Christmas. You go into the shops and you see Christmas food. You go on TV and you see Christmas adverts and in Christmas films. We see a lot of things at Christmas. But can I say, none beat what Simeon saw that first Christmas morning, that first Christmas season. "My eyes have seen your salvation." You see, what Simeon saw was not a helpless baby, but the king who would save his people. What Simeon saw was what he was waiting for. The consolation, that is the rescue, the comfort, the hope of Israel. What Simeon saw was God's Savior. Let me ask you a question. When you see Jesus, what do you see? Do you see him as Savior, as somebody who gives you your salvation? That is why Simeon was praising God. Salvation. Secondly, a salvation that brings light. That's our second word. Verse 31 says, "The salvation Simeon sees in Jesus, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." Then verse 32, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles." Light. The true light had come. We get darkness, don't we, at winter? We like to have a grumble when the darkness comes. Winter, when the ice and the cold comes, when death comes, when darkness reigns, or at least it would do, if not for light. We can switch the lights on and the darkness goes. Light helps keeps the darkness away. And Simeon sees Jesus as light. Not just for Israel, but for the whole world. He says, for all the nations, for Gentiles, non-Jews, Jesus has come to bring light in darkness. In fact, he's come to conquer the ultimate darkness of death and sin. Jesus is light. Do you see Jesus as light? No wonder Simeon is praising God. But he's also praising God because he sees Jesus not just as salvation, not just as light, but also as glory. I reckon if we asked everyone in the UK what the most glorious person in the UK was, we'd probably get a few frowns, a few scratching of heads, but I think a lot of different answers. Because really, if we really thought hard, who was the most glorious person in England, let's just say England, we'd be struggling, wouldn't we? There's not really anybody that we would call the glory of England. But Simeon saw in Jesus beauty and somebody worth praising that made him say that he is the glory of your people, Israel. He is the pinnacle. He is the apex. He is the crown. He is amazing. He is beautiful. He is somebody usually described as God, glory. And Simeon says, Jesus is the glory of Israel. Just as God's glory once rested in the temple, now Simeon sees God's glory in a person. This is who Israel should worship. God's glory dwelling with us. God himself with us. Salvation, light, glory. If you're looking for three reasons to praise God today, three responses to Jesus this morning, to use them to fuel your praise, use these three words. Jesus is the salvation of God, the light of the nations, and the glory of Israel. Take a look at the Christ this Christmas and spend time praising him. In fact, you could respond how Joseph and Mary responded in verse 33. You notice what their response was at Simeon's words? We read, they marveled at what was said about him. They marveled at what was said about Jesus. Salvation, light, glory. Do you marvel at Jesus? Have you marveled at Jesus this morning? That's a good response when you're thinking about Jesus this Christmas. Praise God for Jesus, our salvation, our light, and our glory. But Simeon doesn't just praise God. His response also brought a personal message of pain. You see this when he talks to Mary in verses 34 to 35. And we could say we have three more words. We have falling, rising, and grief in verses 34 to 35. Let me read the verses. Simeon says to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul to pain. You know, people will fall, will rebel against Jesus and God, verse 34 says. Jesus will be a sign spoken against. And people's hearts, their rebellious hearts, will be revealed because of what they think about Jesus. They will hate him and hurt others who trust him. They will speak against him. They'll be falling, but they'll also be rising. People who will trust in Jesus and know the salvation that Simeon saw. Rising and falling, rebellion and trust. I suspect that's what we've got in this room here this morning. We've got people falling. We've got people who are in rebellion, who are not trusting in Jesus. And we've got people who are rising, in a sense, are trusting. Which one are you this morning? And if you are somebody who is falling, rejecting, rebelling, then can I ask you to think about the pain and grief that Simeon said Mary would experience in the last words of verse 35? A sword will pierce your own soul too. You see, Simeon saw the child Jesus and saw his death. Saw the agony that Mary would face as he hung on the cross for Simeon's sins, Mary's sins, our sins. The pain that Mary would have faced, the grief and anguish, as if a sword had pierced her soul. For how else would the child be our salvation? How else would the child be our light? How else would the child be our glory? How else would we be rescued from our sin? How else would we escape punishment and rise? How else would we know forgiveness but for the fact that the child would eventually die? We are saved from sin. We are saved from the darkness of sin and death, and enter ultimately the presence of the glory of Israel, God himself, Jesus Christ, because when Mary watched her son crucified, when Mary's soul was pierced, he was bringing salvation, light, and glory as his hands and feet were pierced for us, as he was lifted up to die for you and me. That is what Simeon saw in the child Jesus. Once again, my eyes have seen your salvation. This is Simeon's response to Jesus at Christmas. I wonder, what's your response? Praise, but also a message of personal pain because Jesus was going to go to the cross. Let's ponder that. But as we ponder that, let's move on more briefly to Anna's response. We're given a little bio of Anna in verses 36 to 37. The only person we have in the Bible beyond her name belonging to the tribe of Asher. She was a prophet. But other than that, we know she was really, 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 really old. And likely she'd been a widow for a long, long time. And now she spent all her time fasting, worshipping, and praying at the temple. She was an old, godly woman, just like probably Simeon was an old, godly man. We don't get any direct words from her, but we do get two responses in verse 38. Thankfulness and speaking. Let me read verse 38. You got your Bible, read along with me. Coming up to them at that very moment, she, that is Anna, gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. As I said, one of the things that we see a lot of is Christmas adverts over Christmas. One of my favorites this year was an Amazon advert. It started with three old women sitting on a bench. And then they buy equipment. And it turns out the equipment that they're buying is equipment to go sledging. And the scene cuts, doesn't it, to these three old women at the top of the hill. And they start with, they've got the safety helmets on, of course. You don't want to let three old women going down a hill on sledges without a safety helmet. But they go down. And then as they're going down, actually, the scene cuts again to them when they were younger. And they get to the bottom of the hill. And then the tagline, which is brilliant. Joy is shared. Well, here we have another old woman wanting to share joy. The joy of Christmas. And it isn't buying things on Amazon, believe it or not, or sledging, or even spending time with your loved ones. It's sharing the joy of Jesus. She spoke about the child's. Joy is shared. See, here's an old widow who knew what it was to be thankful. She understood. She understood, despite her many years as a widow, despite her grief, her old age, she understood that Jesus was the most precious thing. And you can often see what the most precious thing, or hear what the most precious thing is, by what you are talking about the most. And Anna talked about the child. She spoke. Share. Joy is shared. I love those words in verse 38. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, we could read this and think how well she was telling non-Christians about Jesus, and maybe she was, but let's read it carefully, because it says she spoke to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Not the disinterested or those with no hope, but to those looking forward to the ransom, to the rescue of Jerusalem. That the word looking forward is the same word used for Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel in verse 25. They were waiting, people who were waiting for redemption, waiting for rescue, waiting for salvation. And Anna's saying, as a prophet, they're not waiting for a military campaign to fight and free Jerusalem from the Romans. That's not what Jesus redeems them from. No, Jesus fights a spiritual campaign to fight and free them from Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God, from sin. And Anna spoke about Jesus to those people, because in Jesus we have the consolation. In Jesus we have the rescue. In Jesus we have the comforter, the rescuer, the savior, the redeemer. And Anna wanted to speak to those people about the child, because joy is shared. I don't know what you'll speak about over your Christmas meal. Generally, Colin and Judith know this, I just tuck in and eat as much food as possible and then talk after. But maybe slow down and talk about Jesus over dinner. Share the joy of Jesus over dinner this morning. See, what I like about the Grinch is that it's a transformation story. Sorry, there's another spoiler. If you hear yesterday, there was a spoiler. But the Grinch doesn't stay the Grinch. The Grinch doesn't stay despising Christmas, hating Christmas. You know what? You don't need to stay like you are when it comes to Christ either. Don't isolate yourself from Christ. Turn to Christ. Be like Simeon, who praised God because he saw in Jesus salvation, light, and glory. Yes, pain, because he was going to go to the cross. And be like Anna, who shares the joy of Jesus to all who hope in redemption. So why don't you come this Christmas? come to our Saviour, praise Him, and share the joy.